thank you for the opportunity to recognize you as our hope. Lord, that as we focus on that, all things that come in our life, we know you have taken care of in advance. You tell us that salvation is by your hand, and it's through faith, and it's by grace. Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you for the opportunity to believe the second half of that passage as well, that you are preparing good works in advance, that we should do them. I pray that we would continue to think about that as we think about our lives and the hours and the minutes that we have. Lord, I pray that you would continue to help us to learn what it means to truly be faithful to you and to focus on that on a daily basis. In Jesus' name, amen. As I said, we're kind of going to begin a series, just a 3-week long one, but today I want to focus, as we probably should, and it's customary at the beginning of the year to reevaluate things, right? That's what our world tells us, and so I'm going to take a little bit of your already leanings and motivate you to think about what God would want you to do this year and to think about it a little differently, to not just think about some of the things that you would like to see done in your own home or in your own physical body or in your own life, but to really think about what might God want for this year for you. Do you really believe that He has this year already planned? That as we continue to follow after Him, we get to be a part of what He's already doing. You know, we're in part of a long, long story, right? From the Garden of Eden until the time that Christ returned, that's a very long time. But God has been in it and through it in every step of the way, and this year is no different. And so how do we enter the year but by faith, right? We have faith that this year is going to happen, right? That's really, you woke up this morning faithfully believing that we were going to have church today. So whether or not you understand it, you have faith and you put your faith in things every day. And it matters what you put your faith in. Are you going to put your faith in your job? Are you going to put your faith in your friends? Are you going to put your faith? You answer it. Where do you put your faith? And who really controls all of those other pieces? I would encourage you to put your faith in God, to be totally faithful to Him and allow that faith then to orchestrate all of the relationships and pieces underneath it. He's the only one that won't let you down this year. It's just the reality. He's the only one that has your 100% best interest at heart. And so to be faithful to Him, we see a list of men that have done it in time in Hebrews 11, and I won't go through that list. You can go through and read some of those names this week, but the very first verse of Hebrews 11, verse 1, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see." And so there's two things there in my mind. That faith is the hope of what we hope for, right? It's the thing that we get out of bed in the morning and we have faith and we hope that today might be the day. Whatever that looks like for you. We have faith that, and I've gone through this list before, but if you really think about it, what it takes just to get you out of bed in the morning in western Pennsylvania may start in West Virginia in a coal mine, right? That guy got out of bed and went to work to get the coal to ship it up to the power plant so that the power plant could provide electricity to your alarm clock or your phone. All of those things you put your faith in just to get out of bed. We don't think of a lot of those things. And what I'm going to ask you to do is to think intentionally about what you are intentionally putting your faith into. We put our faith into things on a daily basis that are mundane, and we just think they're going to happen. We put our faith, and when they don't, when the power goes out, then we're disappointed. So I'm going to ask you to say, when the power goes out, my faith was not in the power. It happened for a reason. That if my faith is in God, then even the power going out was for a reason. And everything can be directed back to the one that controls every moment of our life. So as we stand at the beginning of a new year, and we only revisit these things once a year, I want to challenge you to think that faith happens on an hour by hour, or at least a daily basis. That every day when I get up, I have to think, what am I going to put my faith in today? What do I believe and hope for today? And the second piece of that, right? It's very critical that there are assurances given to us in the Scriptures. There are assurances there of things that we do not see. Because we don't actually see God protecting us. We don't actually see God providing for us. But there are assurances in His Word that say, when you put your faith in Me, I will provide and I will protect you. And if I put my faith in those things, then I'm putting my faith and my hope into something every day that I've already been given an assurance for. That I know whatever happens on that given day, that God has already thought about it. God has already orchestrated the moments of my life. Psalm 139 is one that I love, and I didn't include it, but it at the very end, it talks about how many thoughts God has about us. The writer of the psalm, David, says, He thinks of me all the time. Is basically how the New Living Translation puts it. That God thinks about you. That He literally plans out the things that are going to happen so that you can have the best opportunity to become the person that He wants you to be. And faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance of what we do not see. So as we understand that, we're going to look at the next 3 weeks, what that really looks like in everyday life, right? What does it mean to be faithful to God? So where do we start? How do we grow closer to Him and initiate and continue to build upon that relationship with Him? Next week, I want to talk about being faithful to His Word, right? We're going to talk about how do we break apart His Word here on a weekly basis and figure out what to present to you and how to read the Scriptures and those kinds of things. And then I want to talk on the 20th, how to be faithful to His world. Because it's created by Him. And He knows best how to handle what's going on in His world and how we can fit into that plan. So as we start, I want us to look at Colossians chapter 3. Because it's kind of a mindset, right? To be faithful to God begins in your mind and in your heart. To purpose in your heart and your mind to think differently on a daily basis. And Paul writes to the church at Colossians. He's already encouraged them and said, man, we hear about all the great things that are going on in Colossae. We hear about the church and its growth and your faith. And I want to encourage you. And here is how I think you stay on track. And so as we think about this coming year, God has been doing some really good things, and we want to stay on track. We want to know what that looks like. And he writes to the folks there at Colossians these next few words. Verses 1 through 4 to start. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is. He's seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you have died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. And so these pieces fit together to just describe what Christ has already done, right? That if we are sitting here believing in Jesus together, that we should be doing these things, setting our minds on things above, because we understand what He's already done for us. We have been raised with Christ. Set your mind on things above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. He's the one that is on our behalf talking to God. He is the one that was the sacrifice, the one that comes between us and that holy, righteous anger of God the Father, that propitiation for our sin, that sacrifice that was on our behalf. And every day we get to think about that. If we look up, if we're not too busy looking at the to-do lists and the alarm clock and the things that are going on the earthly level. That we can have an assurance that Christ is sitting there if we don't look at earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And if you believe that, then those assurances are yours that when Christ, who is your life now, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Whether or not you pass or whether He comes back, when it's in glory, you'll be there with Him. And so we're talking about setting your gaze a little above the earth, right? That's what the author is trying to get us to do, to set your mind on things above. There's a phrase that goes around in Christian circles too, that we don't want you to be so heavenly minded you're of no earthly good. Okay? And so there's a balance of that, and we'll talk about that over the next 3 weeks. It initiates with you starting to look at God. You've got to look there first. You can't start at earth and find God. Does that make sense? If you start with God, you will find His heart for the world. That's how it works. Because His heart and His passion and His word leads you back into life with people. And He tells us of several things in this passage to trust Jesus, that your eternity is secure. Just trust Him, right? Trust Jesus, your eternity is secure, whether you die or whether He comes back. It's sewn up. If you believe that. And that's the place to start. If you haven't become really, absolutely, 100% sure, then that's the first step this year. To make sure that you trust Jesus. That in your heart, you believe that He came and He died and He rose again to overcome death and eternity for you. On purpose. So that you could have the opportunity to understand He is sitting at the right hand of God and have the assurance that every day I can look up and right there He's going to be. That's the one thing I can trust every morning, right? That's the assurance that His Word gives to me. To have faith of what I hope to happen. To have the assurance of things that I don't see. That's what faith is. There's a leap there that is required on our part. The second piece of this in Colossians chapter 3 is some of just the behavioral things, some of the things that went away when we change. And I'm going to take a little different look at this, but let me read it to you. So put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to the earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. And because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self and its practices, and you've put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge, in the image of its Creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. So Jesus, again, is the preeminent peace, right? That Christ is all and is in all. In this room, the one thing that we absolutely have in common, if we believe and trust in Jesus, as we said in that first passage, that we have that in common. It doesn't matter, right? He says he's appealing to the audience of the day. There's barbarians and Scythians and Greeks and Jews. And you know what? There, we could be sitting here from Dale and from Richland and Geistown and, right? That was kind of the same thing. But that doesn't matter. Because Christ is in all. That's the thing that matters. That we're here because of Him. That we get to be a part of what He's doing in a bigger picture in all of those areas. That we have the opportunity to do those things. That we have died to our old self and its practices, and we've put on a new self. It's a great opportunity to shed some of the things that you struggle with. Some of the things that you have wrestled with, maybe all of your life, maybe they're hereditary issues. Maybe it's the way you were trained by your family. Maybe there are things that you have become enslaved to as you grow older. But you have a chance to take off that old self. To lay it aside and say, I am being renewed in the image of my Creator. I tell my daughter and my son, when they were in high school, if their friends want them to do things and they really are uncomfortable with what their friends are doing, blame it on me. Tell your friends, my dad would kill me, my dad won't let me do it. Whatever you got to say, if you don't want to do it, blame me. I don't care what that 15-year-old kid thinks about me. I got no care for that. I got bigger picture issues to worry about than what the junior class at Richland High School thinks about me. Most of his buddies know me from the football team, and they already know that. What I'm going to say here is blame it on God. If you're having a hard time shedding that old self and trying to figure out, man, but what do I do with my friends and what are they going to think about me and all, blame it on God. He's got bigger shoulders than I do. It's the Bible. It's all right. If you have an opportunity and you want to take it, just blame it on God. Tell somebody, you know what, I don't do that anymore because I'm trying to be renewed in the image of my Creator, and that's what He wants me to do. It's okay. It's okay to say, I'm being renewed in the image of my Creator, and I just don't do that anymore. I've matured out of that phase of my life, or I've let it go because it was detrimental to me or to my family, or... You can do that. God's a big boy. Take the opportunity to really think about some of these things. He gives a list here, yes, but it could be, that's just the surface, right? There's all kinds of things that we struggle with that we don't have to. And that's why he says you've taken off the old self, you've let it go, and you're putting on the new self. You're being renewed in the image of your Creator. You have an opportunity. You can tell them, listen, I have an opportunity to be more like the Creator of the universe. Wouldn't you take it? Because that's what we get to do. That's really what this is all about. So take that time this year, maybe the beginning of this year is that time when you think about what does it mean to be more faithful to God. Maybe it is just that. Laying aside something that has tripped you up for a long time and you haven't been able to articulate it. Maybe it's even inside of your family and you just need it to change. Lay it aside, give it to God, and tell somebody that's what you did with it. I just gave that to God. I didn't need it anymore, right? It's like I didn't need those notes. That was first page. Colossians chapter 3 continues. and tells you some of the things that we are supposed to clothe. Because if we're going to be renewed in the image of our Creator, then He wants to give you a picture of what that looks like. Verses 12 through 14. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And then over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. That's a New Year's resolution there, huh? To be able to just be more compassionate this year. To be able to see my world differently. To be motivated by that compassion to be kinder to someone. To be able to motivate myself to have more patience with the people that I love. To allow myself to be renewed in the image of my Creator. Because He does all those things for me. Right? Forgive as the Lord forgave you. That's really where it all revolves. Understanding those things together, that I have taken off the old self and I've put on the new self because of Jesus. I have that opportunity to be renewed in the image, and then therefore as I react and interact with other people, I get to do that for them. I get to be the image of my Creator to them. That what they see is what they believe about God. That's a heavy thought, I know. That sometimes what people see in our world or what they believe about God, because you're here this morning and you are associated with God by being at a church this morning. So when you leave and you are at lunch and people are talking and you are conversing with the wait staff and saying, "Hey, yeah, we went to church this morning." That's the list you need to represent. To be compassionate, kind, humble, patient. Because that may be the only God they saw today. To continue to do that over and over is where the passage starts, right? You can't do that. You cannot fill yourself up with those qualities if you are not setting your mind on things above first. If you are not thinking about who God is and what He has done first and then allowing Him to penetrate your world, then you will not enter it with patience and kindness and compassion. It's just not possible in our human strength. We need His help, and that's okay. That's what He lived for. That's what He died for. That's why He set Himself at the right hand of God, so that we would have a place to look up to set our mind on those things above and think about it, to impact then how we live our life every day. Paul wraps it up in verse 15 to 17. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ deal among you dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Yes, this is the same author that wrote, "For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things." Because reality tells me that's what our world is. That if I am being renewed in the image of my Creator, then I believe He created all that is. And that I am just using it. And I can use it for myself, or I can use it on His behalf and then give Him the glory. And I can do that every day. That as I interact and I grow and I mature and I take off some things that maybe are not representative of what I want to be, that I can be renewed in the image of my Creator on a daily basis, so that at the end of the day, I can say, whatever I did today, whatever I did it, whether in word or deed, I did it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And that really, this entire passage to me is circular. It starts with setting your mind on things above, allowing yourself to live in that space to set the tone for your life. And then it allows you to see what's going on in your world, and then it takes you right back to doing it all for Jesus. Right? No matter what you're going to do. Whether you're going shopping at Walmart, whether you're going back to college, wherever you find yourself this week, what does it mean to be faithful to God in that circumstance? And you don't have to think about it in an entire year's perspective. You don't have to revisit this every January and say, I need to do a better job of being faithful to God this year. The beauty of His Word is that you can do that every day. You don't have to wait till 2020. I saw a little meme on Facebook this week that says, well, 2020 is going to be my year because I already messed up 2019. Doesn't have to work that way. It could be this afternoon. It could be tomorrow morning. It could be next week. Anytime that you need it. Because it says that whatever you do, whatever, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Just remember to give thanks for what you get to do. To remind people that I do this because Jesus loved me and I love you because of it. In doing that, you're going to be more faithful to God every day. By thinking about it that way. We have an opportunity to do that as a body, as individuals. That we have a chance to make an impact on a community, on families, on lives. By just showing up. By just being kinder. By being more compassionate. By being more patient. I get more comments from the high school football parents about the fact that they don't ever see me yell than anything else I do. I know it matters. And I need to be more patient. We all can do these things, though. We all get to read the Word together. spending time, and we're going to talk about some ways that we could do that tomorrow, some things that maybe you haven't thought of, the way that the Word impacts your thought process. But for today, I want you to leave understanding that you can put your old self right on the floor. We'll clean it up later. Okay? You don't have to leave with any of that stuff. You can put it off on the floor and you can tell everybody tomorrow, I let it go yesterday. Blame it on God. Just tell Him I'm being renewed in the image of my Creator and that stuff's gone. It's okay. I let it behind me. I don't need it anymore. And go be the kinder, gentler self that people will appreciate even more and show them why you did it. That it wasn't to serve you, that it was to serve God. That you did it because you responded to His call in your life. And it makes you a better person. It makes you somebody that people want to be around. That people want to be in love with and protect. Father, thank You for the opportunity that Your Word gives us. Thank You for inspiring these men to write words to us that we can use thousands of years later in such an applicable way. It amazes me every week that I can read Your Word and be motivated by Your Spirit to see something different. Lord, thank You for that. I pray that You would continue to work in us and through us, that as we lay these things aside, that You would take them out of our reach. That we would allow ourselves to surround ourselves with things that are good and right and pleasing to You. That we would then make an impact in our world, that us being faithful to You allows others to understand what it means. That they see it and they want to be a part of it. Lord, thank You for the opportunity to be engaged in what You're doing in our world. Thank You for what You have already done in our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name.